Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Orient Cement Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Navin Sahadeo from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizan. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I welcome you all to the Q4 and full year FY23 earnings call of Orient Cement Limited. From the management, we have with us MD and CEO, Mr. Deepak Khetrapal. Without any further ado, I hand over the call to Mr. Khetrapal for his opening comments, followed by interactive Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Navin. A very warm welcome to all of you who chosen to spend time on this call today morning. With me on this call is also Prakash Jain, our CFO, and also Maneesh Agrawal, who looks after our corporate finance and also investor relations. Just I thought I'll make people aware that there are others from cement who are on this call. My usual customary update on Q4 and the full year, let me just point out some highlights which may not be so obvious from the published results, and I think that's the main purpose of the call. As we all know, we had an extremely disappointing Q2, very, very soft H1. Thereafter, I think we started recovering well, and Q3 actually showed a much better performance. In Q4, I think we bounced back with EBITDA in Q4 of close to 840 rupees a ton. That's good to be back where we belong. The overall volumes, as all of you know by now for Q4, are 17.2 lakh tons, which is 6% growth over last year. Over Q-on-Q basis, preceding quarter, we are up 20%. I just want to highlight this 20% growth that you are seeing in our quarter-to-quarter the volumes. This is barely any drop in the pricing. Price is barely half percent below the preceding quarter, and with that, we have 20% growth. I just want to highlight, you know, how important, how significant that is. On a full year basis, we have total volumes nearly 58 lakh tons, up 5%. The main thing which was not, I said, which is not in the published numbers, this year has been a strange year for us because largely we remain 60% plus towards the trade sales, as we call it, B2C sales, as we keep calling it. Our B2B typically has been a smaller part of our portfolio, which continues to be so, but there is a big skew that happened during the year. We in our markets found the B2C demand or the trade segment demand to be a lot lower. Because of the price, the demand in B2C being lower, somehow the prices in B2C segment in our markets also suffered, and they were very low. We made a quick pivot, as we keep calling ourselves the agile organization. This year we grabbed the opportunity that was available in the B2B sales, and against a 9% degrowth in our trade sales, we actually have grown by 29% in our B2B sales. Why I'm calling that out is because it has huge implications on the overall, I would say, numbers. The B2B sale, as we know, is predominantly OPC sale, unblended sale. What that does is that when you start selling so much more of a proportion of OPC, it actually changes the total capacity that is available to the company because the fly ash is not getting blended with the blended cement that goes. When we actually look at these numbers, while we would say that for the quarter, we have the OPC has actually gone up to about 43%. As a result of that, whatever capacity utilization we talk about, the 80% capacity utilization that we talk about at the cement level, at the clinker level, that amounts to 98% capacity utilization for the company as well in Q4. Clinker utilization has been 98%, although the cement level capacity utilization appears to be just about 80% and slightly more than that. So which is a big difference. And also in terms of the efficiencies and all, if they go for a toss, because obviously OPC consumes more of fuel, more of power and things like that. So when you do the pattern analysis, we need to remember it's not quite an apple-to-apple analysis. So these are important nuances behind the numbers that I just read out to you. For us in Q4, the trade has been actually down to 51% against the last year of 52% against 61 of last year. Q4 is 51% this year. In the preceding quarter, it was 61%. So that's a big skew in our volumes in Q4. The import of that I've already explained. Now, another very important factor that I want to highlight for all of you is that despite the significant degrowth that I've mentioned to you about in our trade sales or B2C sales, our premium products that we've been targeting only on the consumer or trade market, we do not offer them to the B2B segment. In those products, our super premium brand, as we call it now, Strongcrete, which is up 17% over last year in volume. Late in the year, we also launched Orient Green, our another premium brand, which is not super premium, which is more like premium. It's about 20 odd rupees less than Strongcrete in terms of pricing. But the positioning of Orient Green is more about sustainability, more about responsible cement. So if we combine the two, our total growth in premium cement over last year is 22%. And the Strongcrete 17% has come to us despite the fact that in Q1 itself, we had actually decided to, in a market where prices were difficult to come by, we'd actually taken a bold decision to increase the premium gap of Strongcrete over our PPC by another 10 rupees. Earlier, we used to sell it at 35 rupees plus PPC. Now, we sell it at 45 rupees plus PPC. Despite that, there is 17% growth in consumer segment where otherwise we have a degrowth. So these are things that I just want to draw your attention to. It actually tells us that our brand strategy and our positioning strategy that we've been sort of working on in a very concerted manner as a long-term process, and with the rich portfolio of premium cements as we've already launched, it seems that now we have taken roots and we're beginning to see the fruits of the hard work that we've been doing. And this branding strategy, which to my mind is perhaps unmatched in the industry, it will actually pay us dividends for years to come. But at this stage, at times it does appear that investing in the form of some lost volumes, as we insist on the prices that our brands deserve, maybe there's some investment that's happening in terms of lost volumes, but we are, as a conscious choice, as a strategic decision, we choose to pursue that route, and we keep doing it. And I'm just pointing out these things because in the overall analysis of volumes and tons and prices, some of these nuances get lost. I talked to you about the clinker utilization in Q4 at being 98%. Now, if we, just to give you the full year figure also, it seems that at the cement level, as traditionally as we see, our capacity utilization is at 68%. But if we look at the clinker level utilization in this last year, we utilized total companies, total clinker up to 78% for the year. One implication which is very clearly there is that if you have 98% utilization in quarter, 78% already happening in the whole year of clinker. If we want to keep growing very quickly, we need to take some action to add more clinker capacity. And the clinker capacity that we need to add, I'll come later on CAPEX, but just giving an indication to you, because the clinker utilization, if we look at the full year last year at our Chittapur, Karnataka plant, our clinker utilization is in excess of 100%. So the capacity addition at Chittapur is now looking absolutely a desperate need. So we'll obviously have to very quickly think about adding clinker capacity, starting with Chittapur compared to earlier we were thinking about somewhere else. I'll come to that. The other details on Q4, our realizations on last year, we are up 3%. And like I said, on QOQ basis, there's hardly any drop there. Even the full year realizations are up about 3%. while the cement prices have stayed what I call flattish, what has bothered us throughout the year is the huge spike in costs, and largely, we all know it, power and fuel costs, which have been going through the ceiling. And they have been unrelenting. Lately, yes, we've been having some relief, but for full year, if we look at it, our total costs, which went up by about 570 rupees per ton, out of that, 467 rupees is coming only from power and fuel, and 66 is coming from logistics costs. Obviously, there are some other small contributors to that, some additives like laterite and gypsum, and maybe some fly ash costs going up during the year. But largely, that's the cost build-up. On QOQ basis, our total cost of operations in Q4 are down about 5%, but they are higher 7% year-on-year, largely, as I mentioned, power and fuel and logistics, because diesel costs also went up. And this cost increases, I just want to sort of again give you numbers which are otherwise not there. The full year, if we look at the AFR, the alternative fuels that we use, that we keep consuming, and we've actually been using a lot more of lower cost fuels like RDF and the municipal waste and things like that, compared to carbon black, for example, which has been classified as a as an alternative fuel. But we know that the carbon black is not really comparable in terms of AFR with things like municipal solid waste or the RDF and things like that. More and more focus has been to go towards lower cost alternative fuels and also the hazardous wastes, whether from pharma industry. So hazardous waste, non-hazardous waste, we've been trying to bring in, so that even the alternative fuels that we use are coming at a cheaper cost. The total savings that we estimate for the year from using alternate fuels is in excess of 40 crores. And the renewable power that we've been increasing during the year, that those savings are in excess of 10 crores, coming out of partly out of the Jalgaon investment that we made, and also partly coming from the at Chittapur we've been sourcing renewable power through open access. Unfortunately, the Telangana government policies are not friendly towards using or buying renewable power, and they are leaving no opportunity for us to utilize that at Devapur till we decide to set up our own power on our premises, so which perhaps might happen later. In terms of efficiencies, I'm delighted to report that despite whatever things we talk about, the heat consumption, as we call the fuel consumption, in a year where otherwise things have been struggling, our total heat consumption for the company as a whole is under 690 kilocalories per quintal of clinker. The alternative fuels for the year as a whole have been a little lower in terms of total volumes of alternative fuel use, but it's been more on the cheaper, low-cost and negative-cost fuel. But renewable power for the company as a whole for the year has now reached 15%. And encouraged by the benefits that we see of alternative fuels and of solar power, we are obviously investing more. The plan is that the renewable power for our company by FY25 end, that is in the next 2 years, should actually become about 35%. And we are also, I think as an outcome of the board meeting, we announced that we are going to be investing again in a SPV to add about 21.5 megawatts DC of solar power at Jalgaon and Chittapur separately. The waste heat recovery project that we've been talking about, which has been under construction at Chittapur, the construction got over, and that plant is right now under commissioning. And the reason why we could not do it earlier, although we were planning we'll do it earlier, but one is constructing the waste heat recovery plant, but we also need to connect it to the kiln to tap into the heat. Now that connecting the kiln to the waste recovery plant needed a shutdown of the kiln, which we could not afford in the month of March. So only in April, when we took the Chittapur kiln for a maintenance shutdown, at that time we took the opportunity of connecting the kiln with the waste recovery plant, and currently the commissioning is on. Almost 80% of the power that we expect from waste recovery should become available to us I'm expecting later this month, but if not later this month, at least definitely in the month of June, about 80% will come in, and balance 20% hopefully by July, August we'll start getting even the balance 20%. So that's a huge cost saving initiative that we are taking at Chittapur. The project which has been on towards cost saving, the rake handling system is up and ready. We've already brought in the first rake and sort of normalizing that. So that also is up there. In terms of market exposure, in this year, we actually have increased our volumes from Western India. So in terms of markets, as I was mentioning, our exposure to Western India has actually gone up to 61% in Q4 from 53%, which used to be till last year. I'm talking about Western India, with Maharashtra and Gujarat put together. On full year basis, our exposure to West now is 57%, up from 54%. So that means we sold less to Southern India, more to Western India in this year. And this change has been enabled by the fact that today, our volumes in the Mumbai market and the Pune market, these two markets have been giving us a huge amount of traction. Our brand is being preferred by lots of B2B customers. And that's where the slight skew further towards West from South has also happened. On the fuel mix and other details, one thing which I again want to call out is, as on date, we've been reporting earlier also that we've been a water-positive company. But I'm delighted to report that we also a plastic-positive company now, in the sense that whatever plastic we end up consuming in packaging or whichever other form, we actually bring in and burn a lot more of plastic compared to what we consume in our process. So we are not just a water-positive company, we are also a plastic-positive company, which I think from sustainability and ESG perspective is a very important development. In terms of fuel, as all of you know, Chittapur, besides the alternative fuels that we use, it runs entirely on petcoke. And Devapur, the main fuel, continues to be domestic coal, with some pet coke as a sweetener, but largely domestic coal and some AFR. Always the question comes as to what's my fuel mix. Overall, for the company as a whole in Q4, we have had about 53% of domestic coal, 35% pet coke, and balance is largely alternative fuels. The alternative fuels, as I mentioned, lately we've had some problems because one of the major alternative fuels had become rice husk. But somehow in the Telangana market, there's some issue going on with the government procurement of paddy, because of which lots of rice mills which used to shell and give us the rice husk has not been available. So that's been a little bit of difficulty. Hopefully it will get over soon. But that slowed down our march with the alternative fuels as much as we would have wanted. The overall blended cost for the company on a kilocalorific basis for us has been 2110. And this is down from 2230 2230 is the full year. Sorry, my apologies. The blended fuel cost for the quarter four is 2110, but for the full year is 2230. That means obviously in Q4, the improvement is only visible. But the more important part is against 2230 blended cost for the full year, the last year the blended cost was 1486. Now if you look at 1486 versus 2230, the increase in fuel cost, which is a procurement cost, which has nothing to do with our efficiencies or anything, with that steep a hike in fuel cost, if our EBITDA has suffered, I mean, this is where the data is. In terms of what are the other details? We have overall power and fuel costs, despite this huge increase and with the increase in OPC, which as I mentioned does consume a lot more of power and heat in terms of producing, our fuel cost quarter on quarter in Q4 is 1570 rupees. That I'm sure people would have calculated. And year on year basis, it is increase now under 19%. It's because last year Q4, some amount of inflation in fuel costs had already hitting us. So it's 19% now, which used to be 30-35%. And on full year basis, it's 41% up, but on QOQ it's down to 19% above what we had earlier. The prices, obviously, fuel cost prices have been softening, and largely pet coke that we depend on, because the Singareni collieries are the domestic coal supply there. There is not much change, but the pet coke prices internationally and domestically have been coming down. So that's been a huge relief. The AFR costs, sort of obviously with lack of availability, if we keep using carbon black and rice husk, those costs will go up. But we depend more on RDF and more on MSW and hazardous waste. So using all these strategies, the cost management obviously has been really solid and in place, and it runs as a good process. The challenge really has been that with the variable costs, which have been pushed high because with the power and fuel and diesel costs, and the market demand also has not been, I would say, so bad. We still have growth, and the problem has been our ability to pass on the increased cost to the market. And that is not new in this Q4. This has been an ongoing process throughout the year. The bottom line of the company in Q4, bottom line, we mostly restrict ourselves to EBITDA. So we are about 7% lower compared to Q4 FY2, which is 22, which is a huge recovery from how far behind we had become. So Q4, just 7% below last year EBITDA. And in terms of the quarter-to-quarter comparison, QOQ basis, we are at 58% up compared to the Q3 EBITDA that we had. On per ton basis, Q4 is close to 840, up 31% from Q3. But on year-on-year basis, obviously, we are down from 958 to just about 12% down over last year. In terms of balance sheet, we obviously have been paying term loans, that project debt that we had, which we repaid another 148 crores, and that project debt is down to just about 240 crores in our books. And again, there's a quarterly repayment program that we keep respecting. The debt that has gone up on our books, there's an important reason behind it. On 31st March, it seemed that our working capital had got stretched. And the reason behind that is actually a very positive development that we've been able to make. We perhaps are setting some kind of, I would say, world records in our ability to keep running kilns without having to take maintenance shutdowns. Now, what I mean by that is our Chittapur kiln was actually recently taken for shutdown after a period of 23 months. The industry norm is 9 months. We ran the kiln and we took it down for regular maintenance work after 23 months. Now, while that is one data point which obviously gives us savings in our fixed costs as reverse maintenance, more important, why I'm sort of mentioning that at this particular juncture, is we finally had to take maintenance shutdown of the kiln, which last we had actually done in the month of April 21. And because the markets around that area were still very strong, we had to stockpile a lot of clinker by March end to be able to keep servicing the markets that Chittapur serves, even during April when we would have had nearly zero clinker production. So that huge pileup of clinker inventory and cement as much as we could stock at the end of March led to a huge spike in the inventory that we have. We had on 31st March, which obviously needed more working capital, and that is a skew. But as I mentioned, we did take the shutdown work of Chittapur during the month of April. And by the time we lit up our kiln back into operation, all that excess inventory that we had piled up had been consumed. So cement stock, and you'll be surprised, at the end of March, if my clinker stock at Chittapur was 75,000 tons, by 20th March it was down to 2,000 tons. Even now we have total clinker stock at Chittapur just over 7,000 tons. So that blip that you see in working capital buildup was only to be able to tide through the period that we had for the shutdown there. That's the only reason why the working capital got stressed and we had to borrow some money from the banks. Plus, obviously, from time to time when we import pet coke, it does create a little bit, because when we import, we have to import full shiploads. And obviously, when that inventory comes to, besides that, which has become a normal cycle now, we import a vessel and then we consume it. So when it comes, you suddenly have a 3-month inventory. By the time you import in the next one, that also falls. So that's a cycle, but the clinker exceptional inventory has been already liquidated. As I mentioned, the project debt is about 240 crores as we speak. The working capital debt would be a little over 100 crores. And in this particular year, we managed to also get part of our incentives, which our Karnataka investment had made us eligible for. So about 57 crores of debt we have on the books, which is called a debt, but actually it's a soft loan from Karnataka government, which is interest-free for the next 10 years, and the repayment will start only after 10 years again in yearly installments. So it's a It's interest-free loan available as good as equity, frankly. But still, if you include that also, then we would say we have the debt is around 400 crores. But 57 crores out of that, as I mentioned to you, is more of incentive than really a loan. The best news, I think, the energy prices, which we've seen the softening in Q4, have softened further during the last quarter. But the challenge that we have is that when the prices soften, by the time they hit our P&L, there's always a lag. And that's why last year, despite prices going up in the initial quarter and a half, we had the benefit of our earlier inventory, which was bought cheap. This year, we may have a little bit of struggle with the prices of petcoke having gone down. The low petcoke, lower price petcoke, when it only comes in use, only then we'll start seeing the softening. Otherwise, we have to live with what the inventory that we got. The good news is that the new petcoke that we booked was obviously about 12-13% lower compared to our previous purchase. So that's again a good price, but maybe by the time we start consuming, the prices may come down. So that's the only risk that we have when we buy fuel in bulk. The rest of the market initiatives, they keep going on. One of the changes, again, which are important is led by several factors, including non-availability of rakes, and also the railways have decided to reimpose the peak period surcharge, and they started levying very penal warfare charges at the destinations. Because of that, we've had to relook our logistics mix, and for the time being, at least in Q4, the railway dispatch has come down to 16% of our volumes compared to 25%, which was there in Q4 last year. And the full year rail dispatch has actually come down to 17% for 21% last year for the full year. A little bit of on the prospects looking forward. If people have seen my interaction on the on TVs and all, we are targeting in the current year the volumes of I'm saying it's the range is between 6.3 million tons to 6.5 million tons from about 5.8 that we did last year. And one thing which I'm sure all of you who monitor the cement sector, you would know that if we have taken the major shutdown of the kiln at Chitapur, which takes about 3 weeks when we take it down, as we've taken that in the month of April, now it might look a little softer month purely because the maintenance shutdown comes in on P&L as a very, I would say, bunched up maintenance cost. So that obviously booked in the month of April. And also, if I was stocking 70,000 tons of clinker at Chitapur, that obviously was not good enough to meet the entire demand. So we also had to ship many rakes of clinker from Devapur to Chitapur to keep meeting the market demand. So that obviously adds a huge amount of cost of transporting clinker, which, as we all know, in that much distance just costs about 800 rupees a ton. So that obviously has been additional impact during the kiln shutdown period. And we thankfully kept servicing all of our customers and we kept meeting their needs. But we know this impact that happens during the annual shutdown and maintenance shutdown, and it's no longer annual for us. We actually do it not annually, but a lot more longer. These are bunched up costs, but they get equalized over the year. It may look in the month of April for us, bunched up, or maybe in Q1 also it will have an impact. But for the full year as a whole, they will get normalized, so nothing to get worried about. On the last item that I want to talk about before I take your questions is that CAPEX actually has been slower than what we perhaps had anticipated at the start of the year, and multiple reasons, especially after Q2, we were also quite spooked by where we landed up in Q2 and H1. So for the year as a whole, against our estimates that we had shared, we could spend only about 130 crores for the full year on CAPEX. And in Q4, is barely 28 crores. So obviously, there's a backlog in terms of CAPEX. Now, coming back to the CAPEX going forward, as I did mention to you, there are two reasons. One, at Chitapur, we already consumed 100% of clinker. More importantly, what we are now realizing is that it was okay as long as Chitapur was ramping up and we had some spare capacity there. And we could do with essential activities like maintenance shutdown very comfortably. The problem with Chitapur is that it has, as of now, only one kiln, unlike Devapur, where we have three kilns, where even if one kiln shuts down, we can, you know, keep running the operation. Now, Sitapur is one kiln, and that also being utilized 100% of capacity, there is a very, very clear need for us to prioritize the expansion of the new kiln and grinding capacity at Sitapur, and we keep seeing very, very strong demand there. So we would like to take that up. And if we take the ambition now would be that at least we start the physical on-site work on Sitapur kiln line sometime in the third quarter of this financial year. And that obviously means that the Sitapur expansion would cost us between 1,500 crores, 1,600 crores, 10-20 crores here and there, but largely we say between 1,500 and 1,600 crores with the total capex there, out of which if we have to really push it very, very hard to get the kiln line in place in time for us so that we don't lose the market, we will perhaps be wanting to spend about 600 crores on that project within this financial year. And there are a few other things that we have to keep doing. For example, we are obviously looking at expanding in due course of time our capacity at Devapur and also do the greenfield at Rajasthan. For these two projects, we will need to do some preparatory capex. For example, in the forest, our mines in Devapur happen to be in the forest areas. And for those of you who are familiar with the forest areas, we have now applied for forest clearance, and the moment we get stage one forest clearance, we will have to deposit close to 150 crores with the forest department of the government to create, to reforest the compensatory, to compensate for the forest that we will be using to do our mining. So those are now essential. These are all part of the overall capex that we have for Devapur, but I'm saying some of that, obviously, I'm assuming that the stage one clearance, forest clearance will be available to us within this year, and that will obviously mean cash outflow, maybe 130 to 150 crores. Similarly, Rajasthan land acquisition process has to start, so we obviously, I'm keeping 100 odd crores for capex to acquire land in Rajasthan, so that, you know, the work stays on stream. So put together, we are also wanting to put a waste heat recovery plant at Devapur. And also, I talked about nearly 10 crores investment, which will go into equity for solar power at Jalgaon and at Chitapur. So all told, 1,000-1,050 crores should be our capex this year, if our growth plans have to stay on track and we don't want to lose market share. So that's, I would say, all the highlights that I had to share. And obviously, I've tried to answer most of the questions that the audience would normally have. But there is an opportunity for us to start addressing questions as they come. Thank you.
Sir, should we open up for questions?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Rajesh Kumar Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the detailed presentation. On a, if you could share what was the clinker production for FY23?
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Ravi. Sir, can you use the handset mode while speaking? Your audio is not sounding clear to us.
Hello, sir. Can you share the clinker production for FY23, please?
The number I'm not having with me right now, but I did tell you 78% of our capacity. I can share that
on clinker basis, you're saying?
I'm saying clinker basis, the utilization for the last year is 78%.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for full year, what would be your trade, non-trade mix, and what are targets?
See, targets, we obviously would want to get back to more trade as we used to have 60-odd percent. But this year, obviously, that has come down to about 54%. and balance we've been doing B2B. Target is a function of what we see in the market. This year also the target was not to go down in B2C, by the way. That was never the target. But if we do not have demand or the prices are not remunerative, then we pivot very quickly, right? So we'll keep feeding the demand that we see in the market. Let me not hazard a guess on that, because if you ask me, I certainly want to do about 65% trade, provided the demand is there and the price is there.
Okay. And sir, two questions. One on the quarterly, if you see the employee cost and other expenses this quarter were way lower despite the high volumes, employee cost was much lower than 43 crore normal run rate. So, you know, how should we look into it? Obviously, it is a balancing number for the full year. And even for other expenses, what would be the normalized on that?
Rajesh, you already guessed it. Partly, it always happens at the end of the year. We realize we make provisions for year-end costs, like variable costs and, you know, bonuses and things like that. And when we see the final results, we know it's not going to get paid at this level, right? So we reverse some of the number for sure. So it's partly balancing, but also this about, I think, 2 quarters ago, I tried to answer this question. We actually have had a fabulous process of developing talent in-house. Now, when we had a very senior level person, our president manufacturing, when he retired in the month of October, we didn't go out and hire a new president manufacturing. We had been training, we had been developing our internal people. So the president manufacturing, the new president manufacturing was already with us. Same thing happened with his, you know, so 5-6 levels of succession within the company, which otherwise would have been more expensive if we had gone out. We actually used our own talent, and the in-house talent typically turns out to be lower cost. So the month of, for this quarter and even the month of December, we didn't have to pay the salary that our previous president manufacturing used to draw, and we have his replacement at a salary which is much lower because he's younger, he's developed in-house. He'll get to that salary, but for the time being, we have savings, right? So that's the process, and there's another change in the company that again is happening at another level. Same process. Develop your talent, utilize them, your manpower cost will remain under control. That's what we've learned. And that's what is resulting in the numbers that you're seeing.
Okay. And sir, lastly on the CapEx front, if you see FY23 also, our, you know, mid-year target was around 250 crore for this financial year, FY23, and we closed the year with 150 crore. So on a practical basis, what sort of number one should look at? Because Tiroda is not happening, but other projects are mostly brownfield in nature. So what is the Devapur and the Chitapur projects capital which are firmed up for this financial year? And yeah.
Rajesh, as we know, Devapur, I have already mentioned many times, we will not take up developer expansion till I have a grinding unit under construction.
Okay.
Right. So whatever we plan to spend, not only on Tiroda, but also at Devapur to support that, we had to hold back because Tiroda got cancelled. Right. So that's why now, if I'm talking about 1,000 crores in this year, as I have mentioned to you, mm-hmm. I'm not talking anything beyond the forestation charges that we have to give to the government. I'm not saying much to be done at Devapur or the new grinding unit. I'm not even planning that, right? So 1,000 crores, 1,050 crores number I'm saying is largely to start the kiln construction at Chitapur, right?
Okay.
And then I said 150 crores for deposit to the government for forest clearance, 100 odd crores for Rajasthan land, which I think are reasonable to take, right? Tiroda dislocation was a huge thing, because of which, because when that got dislocated, there was no point in expediting developer construction.
Mm-hmm. And for this Chitapur, what sort of clinker and grinding capacities you're looking at?
We are replicating. We have a 3 million ton capacity there with a 7,000 TPD kiln, a 6,000 TPD kiln. We'll replicate it. Exactly the same thing.
Okay. Great, sir. I'll come back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Nitin Dharmawat from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Couple of questions. What is the status of the waste heat recovery plant at Chitapur that we expected to commission in the first quarter of financial year 24? And how much debt we are likely to take on the books for the capex that we are planning and which is undergoing right now? And third. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
The capacity at of waste recovery, which is under commissioning today, is 10.2 megawatts.
Okay. And this is now on steam, right?
No, no, it is under commissioning. It will be on stream in the month of June. Commissioning, if the construction is over, then I mentioned that we had to wait for the kiln shutdown to connect it. Only then you can start getting waste heat, right? So now waste heat and steam is being passed on to that, and then obviously when you're commissioning a power plant of any sort, it is a few weeks job before it starts giving you power, because the commissioning activities are fairly hazardous and they do take time. So it is under commissioning. It will be operational soon.
Got it. And what is the debt amount that you are likely to take for the subsequent CapEx which is going on?
Nitin, our debt will be geared towards how our cash flows go, right? So we do have the cash flows coming in. We have no other plan besides after paying dividend. There are no other plans to sort of do anything. So we'll use as much cash internally that we can generate, and balance will go for debt. If we are able to spend 600 crores, my own guess would be perhaps it'll be prudent to go for a debt, maybe 600-700 crores in that range. But like I said, that will be for us a balancing number. We'll obviously try and use our own cash flows as much as we can.
Perfect. Beautiful. Thank you so much. If I have any additional question, I'll come back.
Thank you, Nitin. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Rajat Sethia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just one clarification. You mentioned that out of the total capacity.
Sorry to interrupt. Sir, can you use the handset mode while speaking? Your audio is not sounding clear to us.
Is it better now?
Much better, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. So, sir, because of lack of clinker capacity, we are not able to produce. We won't be able to produce to our nameplate capacity of 8.5 million tons. Is that correct?
If the OPC percentage remains as high, yes, you are right. 8.5 million or any capacity in the cement industry, we assume 65% PPC, 35% OPC is the, I would say, the default assumption when we talk about capacities. The moment your OPC becomes way beyond 35%, no company can produce the boilerplate capacity. That's how it is calculated. So you're right. Your conclusion is absolutely right.
Okay. And with the help of this new clinker CapEx that we are planning at Chittapur, what will be our cement capacity then? I mean, will we be able to produce to the maximum of 8.5?
My own assumption is that these blips of suddenly B2B demand becoming so much higher and B2C going down so low, these are transient phases. I personally do not think this will sustain. So whether it happens in this quarter or the next quarter, B2C demand will come back. And then we will be back to around, like I said, 60-odd% of PPC and 30-odd% of OPC. So I think we'll resume normalcy within a few quarters. And the same thing, if we are going to be replicating the current size of the kiln and the mills at Chittapur, boilerplate will be 3 million tons, assuming that the mix of B2C, B2B, or OPC, PPC would come back to what the industry norm is. Right? So the current aberration, let's not carry this current aberration as something which is going to last forever.
Sure. So our total capacity will increase by how much, sir, with the help of this new kiln?
So at Chittapur, it will increase by 3 million tons. So 8.5 to 11.5 million tons.
So 8.5 plus 3.5?
Plus 3, 11.5, total 11.5 with Chittapur expansion.
Okay. And sir, you briefly mentioned that about Devapur, and you have mentioned that in the past, unless we have the grinding unit at Tiroda, I think, we won't go ahead with the CapEx.
Yeah.
So what is the thought process there? I mean, in terms of what is, I mean, is why are we not going ahead with the grinding? You know, what is stopping or what's really happening, if you can help us understand?
Good question. I should actually brief in my own opening briefing. Tiroda fizzled away. They said they will not allow us to do it anymore. So what we have done now is we are actually in very close discussion with another alternative site in Madhya Pradesh, very close to a power plant. The discussions are on, and as you know, when you have a new site, whenever you need land and other details, you have to examine lots of things. So we have zeroed in on one site. I would not like to reveal the name at this stage because we are under negotiations. So we hope that within the next 6 months, we will be able to freeze the exact site and have the land in hand to put up the grinding unit. But if it takes us 6 months to get the land, I don't think much of capex will happen on that in this year, in terms of cash also. But we will make that grinding unit, and as soon as we start the construction for the grinding unit, developer expansion will run in parallel. So we want to do it in a synchronized manner so that we don't have mismatch of having clinker but not the grinding unit, or having grinding unit but not the clinker.
Sure. So basically, earlier plan was 1.5 million tons of grinding unit and 3 million tons of kiln at the Devapur plant. So same would be the...
Let me correct again. Earlier plan also was that the Chitapur, the kiln that we have, which actually produces about 2 million tons of clinker, which can give up to 3 million tons of cement. So at Devapur also, line 4 is planned for clinker capacity of 2 million tons with 2 million tons of grinding at this Madhya Pradesh grinding unit, which is the alternative to Tiroda, and 1 million additional grinding at Devapur itself to cater to markets nearby.
Okay.
Total capacity 3 million tons of cement, 2 million at a remote grinding unit, 1 million on site.
Got it. And so what will be the total capex for this one if it begins whenever, let's say next year, sometime next year, both the things put together, like the grinding as well as the kiln?
Devapur expansion and a split grinding unit all put together will cost about 2,000 crores.
So 2,000 this and almost 1,500-1,600 crores for the Chitapur, correct?
Yeah. So, but like I said, that timing and all, it's likely to be sequential rather than together.
Correct. And Rajasthan, and we can assume, will be the last one. I mean,
it will be the last simply because you know how difficult land acquisition is.
Correct.
So because of that, I'm not getting over ambitious that I'll be able to get the land within a year and start construction. It's unlikely to happen. You know it, I know it. Even if I say it, you won't believe it, right?
Sure. So what will be our, in terms of debt, how do we think, what kind of peak debt at any point in time, whether it be in terms of debt equity or debt to EBITDA, how do you think about it?
We stick to our pre-announced board mandate, which is we would contain our maximum debt, making debt equity largely 1.5 will remain our target for debt equity. Right. So 1.5, I don't think we'll ever exceed 1.6 in terms of debt. Because 1.5 is our comfort zone and also mandated by our board. In terms of debt to EBITDA, we stay between 3-3.5.
Okay. And so at any point in time, if let's say, I mean, do you envisage going for equity infusion as well?
Yes. If let's say the market situation and all the things come together and we believe there is need for us to put up capacity faster, that obviously cannot be handled through debt and internal accruals alone. In which case, if the new project, the Chitapur expansion, Devapur expansion with grinding unit in Madhya Pradesh and Rajasthan, if they overlap, obviously our current capital, current balance sheet cannot sustain that. So obviously at that point in time, we'll see to if need be, bring in some equity so that we have more room to leverage the balance sheet and do the projects faster. But as of now, like I said, I'm sharing with you what is cleared currently, and we keep watching the market, how quickly we can build capacity in Rajasthan, and before that, at Devapur. And that I believe is more finite, because in 6 months' time, I'm expecting to have the land in hand for the grinding unit, and that should start happening sometime in the FY26. The work can start there.
Sure. Though we plan to have the...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Sethia. May we request that you return to the question queue instead of participating?
Sure. Thanks so much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Prateek Kumar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Good morning, sir. My first question is on your trade mix. So you said that the trade mix has more competition, and as a result, we have...
The competition has not gone up, the demand is a lot less. So different way of looking at things. So competition has always been there. What has made it worse is that the B2C demand went down.
Okay, but we generally, how do you classify the real estate demand in Mumbai market or some of the semi-metro markets in Maharashtra or Pune? Because real estate seems to be doing well, so is this counted under B2B demand?
Yeah. So look, again, Pratik, as you're aware, Mumbai, Pune markets, when we say housing demand, those constructions are largely as large projects and they go as B2B sales. Whereas the same housing, if you start doing in tier 3, tier 4, tier 5 towns, that becomes B2C sales. Right? So, and that's precisely the reason why my exposure into Western India has gone up, my OPC has gone up, because my volumes in Mumbai and Pune have gone up dramatically. Right? And that is all B2B and OPC.
Right, okay. Okay, and regarding competition, year before, like in FY22, we are like commissioning Sea Cement, Dalmia, and I think Birla Corp in your market. So, are these competitions sort of significantly absorbed in the market and unlikely to impact going forward? Or are they still ramping up and still a major competition?
No, I think the capacities that came up around the time we went to Chittapur, we were also new capacity. Don't forget, in 2015 we got commissioned, and that's around the time we had Sri Cement coming up, Dalmia is coming up, JK coming up, lots of plant additional capacities came up in that market, as you know. But that capacity, I'm telling you, my Chittapur plant is right now running at 100% kiln capacity. So obviously it's been absorbed. We are not the only ones. We may have done somewhat better than some other competitors, but by and large, that capacity is already absorbed. The struggle for us, quite honestly, has been most acute around our Jalgaon grinding unit, where there are two other competitors that put up grinding units in the market that we used to cater to earlier, right? And as they came in, they obviously have invested money there and they are following their own strategy to penetrate the market. And that's where the struggle starts saying, should we keep selling at prices where the contribution, because don't forget, the split grinding units, whether it's ours or anybody else's, the clinker needs to be transported to that site. And then you have to sell. And we typically have been avoiding OPC sales from our split grinding unit, that is Jalgaon, because there's hardly any margin left if you sell OPC. Typically, split grinding units are viable or attractive in terms of investment if you can sell PPC. Now, that unfortunately has been not the guiding, I would say, philosophy of people who have put up grinding facilities later. And they are happily selling cement cheaper even after incurring 800 rupees a ton of a clinker transport cost. Now, what do you do? And we are somehow trying to protect our prices and our contributions.
Right. So I was mentioning about this recent...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Kumar. May we request that you return to the question here that are participants waiting for this?
No, I'll just answer, Pratik, that recent ones that have come up are grinding units around Jalgaon, around Khandesh area, as we call it. Right?
Right.
That's the only current struggle. That otherwise, we're okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Aditya Cheda from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Aditya here from InCred Asset Management. What is the cost of debt you're looking for the CapEx you would be taking up?
Cost on debt, the only thing I can tell you is that given our strength of balance sheet and given the way we manage our business, our cost of debt will remain the finest. And it will be driven by what the market rates of interest are. It all depends on what view the central banks in India really are taking in terms of how they create the interest regime. Hopefully, in the past, we borrowed at a very, very good rate. I mean, we borrowed 7% something. Currently, if I go to the market, I don't think I'll get that rate. It will be higher. It's a function of what are the interest rates in the economy around the time it's the debt market, right? So for me, I'll be anything against on the monetary policy of the Reserve Bank of India. I would like to do that. We'll see what the market is doing. Our spreads are extremely thin. That's what I can do.
Sir, and second on volume growth drivers, you mentioned one of your capacities operating almost at full capacity, and the second one is where the competition is sort of hurting us. So the incremental growth of around 10% in the volume, what would be the key drivers there? How do you see that number coming out, especially with April, you mentioned maintenance shutdown has been taken. So on a full year basis, how are you thinking about that number?
Yeah, One is obviously with the new competition that has come around the grinding unit, we are finding our ways to respond, and we are sort of succeeding with that. Similarly, the markets in Telangana, which have been fairly low, they also, sooner than later, they are also going into election. In Telangana, we expect large demand growth coming in Telangana, which has been languishing for the last 2 years. So we are going by the situation market by market, right? And third, more importantly, when I said 100% capacity utilization, it was because of extreme skew which went towards OPC, and which I mentioned earlier is likely to normalize. As that normalizes, then Sitapur is not at 100% utilization of capacity. Don't confuse the two. Clinker 100% does not mean cement 100%. So if the demand moves back to PPC as it normally should, we have growth opportunity there also. Let's not get confused that we can't sell any more cement from Sitapur. We can. There's more OPC from me. I can give you another whatever quantity is there in the market. So just clarifying, we believe sooner than later, B2C demand will be back and our PPC sales will go up. One. Around Jalgaon, new competition, we are finding our ways of competing with it. And Telangana, which has been a disappointing market for the last 2 years, during the election, we are expecting strong growth in Telangana. So that's my answer. Where we have capacity, by the way, in Telangana, we have enough capacity to sell.
Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be taking the last question. That is on the line of Mr. Navin Sahadeo from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Right. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just a couple of questions. For the Sitapur line to clinker, if you could just clarify what is the status of the clearances and by when are you likely to see the project completion on this, please?
As I mentioned, Navin, I said we'll start construction in the third quarter. Now, why we are waiting the third quarter is only because of the clearances, right? Applications have been moved, and basically, we need environmental clearances both for the plant and for the mines. That process is already on. We are expecting that process to be completed in the next 6 months, and that's why I said in third quarter. Otherwise, I would, given the current situation, I want to start the construction now if I could, right? So third quarter only because we are awaiting clearances. And once we start construction, the typical construction time, now that's a brownfield unit, should be the best case scenario about 15 months, the worst case 18 months. 15 to 18 months is the time then we will expect this capacity to be available to the market.
Correct. Correct. So for, let's say, once the capacity comes on board, then as previous participants did ask, that we might then be a little short of the grinding capacity, so to say, in which you said we are already looking at a facility in Madhya Pradesh. So
again, Navin, Sitapur is independent of Madhya. Madhya Pradesh will be supported by Devapur, Telangana.
Okay.
Sitapur, 3 million ton, 2 million ton kiln, one 3 million ton grinding capacity on Sitapur on site is the plan. So when I talked about 1,500 odd crores of investment, it is not just clinker line. It's including additional grinding at Sitapur because there's enough demand around that area.
Understood. So the additional grinding that you're looking at is 3 million ton at Sitapur, you're saying?
Correct.
Oh, that's helpful. And sir, just one last question then. In the scheme of things, of course, I understand Sitapur is a priority and very rightfully because of high utilization there. But Rajasthan is nonetheless, like, you know, I think a decent sort of a priority. So when is that, where is that in the first of all? You did explain that land acquisition and all is in process. But if you were to take a slightly, like, you know, view of the next 3 to 5 years, then where is Rajasthan in the overall scheme of things, and when can one ideally expect broadly the project to start? Thank you.
To my mind, Navin, I would actually believe that our land acquisition processes will take us about 2 hours, 2 years. And as we sort of are doing that, obviously, we'll also be starting all the processes for the construction activity to start, right? So my own guess is 2 to 2.5 years minimum before we can start the construction at Rajasthan. That's bare minimum. And the greenfield project will take us, like I said, 18 to 21 months. Brownfield we can do in 15 months, but greenfield, I don't think happen less than 18 months because the railway siding, there are lots of new things to come up which brownfield doesn't need, right?
Understood. Understood. So this is very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Navin. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Naveen Sahadev for his closing comments.
Thank you, Deepak sir, for your providing ICICI Securities the opportunity to host you. And thank you everyone for taking time out and joining the call. You may please go ahead and disconnect the line. Thank you.
Thank you everyone. Thank you. Bye-bye. See you next time. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.